Not only Lynette, no, it wasn't Lynette, Lorraine brought another Isaiah scripture as well, as Jill brought one. Right? It all just comes together. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Always brings in confirmation and brings things together. And as Graham said, you know when the Holy Spirit's working, like our emotions get peaked, we hear the word and it keeps coming and coming, and it's just amazing. So before I start, this is a bit of a preamble, I suppose. Just quickly, I'm just going to get a picture of some flowers put up on the screen. Is last week, obviously, as you know, was Rosie's birthday last Sunday. And behind the coffee machine, I was asked lots of times, what are you doing for Rosie's birthday? I said, well, we're doing it. We're making coffee. This is what we do. We come to church, So, see those beautiful flowers? They didn't come from me. My nephew gave Rosie those flowers. We arrived home. They were sitting out the front with a beautiful card, because Rosie's taken the time with this nephew to walk through some pretty interesting stuff with him. And we arrived home to those. So just so you know, all right, she did get looked after, okay? Then I know you're wondering whether I took her out somewhere afterwards and gave her a nice meal. Yep. On the way out through town, we pulled up at the servo. We got a couple of dim sims and a potato scallop. And, I'm a good old romantic, aren't I? Huh? Do you reckon I got it down pat? I reckon it was pretty good. But we did have a lovely day. To be able to come and be part of this church, to be able to make coffees, it's what we delight in. It's just wonderful to be able to come. And as I look around today, we've got some lovely guests in the room with us today, but we've got our regular folks, and it's lovely that constantly you're here serving God, worshipping, honouring Him, giving praise to Him, and it's such an amazing and wonderful thing. So, Lord, just as we bring your word into this house today, I just thank you, Father, for this week that we've had together. Lord, that you've moved me to higher places, even once again, Lord. And, Father, I just delight at being able to bring this word into the house today. I just ask, Lord, that you'd go before it and open hearts and minds, Father, that we might, Father, no longer be bound by the things of this world, but, Father, step in to the kingdom of God. And Lord, we just rejoice in your presence in this place. Amen. Okay, so if you grab hold of your Bibles for a sec, I'm just going to ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians 2. And just before I do, a wise man once told his wife, absolutely nothing, because he was a wise man. I just thought I've got to throw that in there, all right, just in case. If I get serious along the way, just remember that, okay? So, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6, and it's speaking about spiritual wisdom. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God. I think we heard that today, didn't we, from Marion? We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. So I just want to take a couple of things out of that quickly, is that if you're operating as a natural man, the things of God are foolishness to you. The Spirit of God is the one that reveals his kingdom and reveals his power, brings, as we heard from Sandra, healing and all the power of God into things. So if we continue to operate in the carnal, would we expect to hear a testimony like Linda gave, where we're taken from this natural place to another place, to where we know his peace, we know his strength, we know his comfort, we know all that there is coming from him? All right, that's what I want to help today, is that if we continue to operate here in the natural, in the carnal, we will have that revealed to us. All right, otherwise there's a whole different place. So the title of my message is just a carry-on from the other week. It was, if you want to plough straight furrows, you need to lift your eyes. All right, part two. Pretty good in that. But in that, if I just go back to it quickly, is that it came to me, and I'm just going to ask Jean if she'd just flick the photo up of our front paddock. So that's our front paddock looking from down the bottom back up towards our house. So you can see there's a bit of grass to mow. And the message the other week came from me mowing the grass. And I want to try and, you know, at least cut it reasonably straight. But if I've only got my head down and looking at the things of this world, then that's where I'll be. If I've got my eyes up looking towards Jesus, then that's what we can have, the things of that Jesus brings, the things of the Spirit. All right? Because I don't care who you are, at some point in your life, you're going to be up to your neck in poop. It's not going to be good, okay? But it's real easy to get caught looking down. And you can look down and that's what you'll see, all right? But when we get to lift our eyes and look out to Jesus, doesn't matter whether we're in the valley, we're on the top of the hill, we're in the poop, wherever you are, he is there. And he's giving us this spiritual wisdom to rise above the natural circumstances that are coming around our lives. And if you remember back to my story, it was about my daughter and the fact that we'd been to Queensland. My daughter had had a tumour taken out of her leg about 18 months ago. We'd been up early February. She had to go in and have another biopsy done on another tumour that she has on her pancreas. A little bit like our beautiful Kate Middleton, you know, things that get revealed as things go on. But the thing was, for 3 days, the spirit of this world got about me. Every time I turned the telly on, there was another story about someone. At the time, it was King Charles having cancer. If I watched the push bike thing, it was about Mark Beretta, who has a push bike ride to cure cancer. But each one came on, and for three days and three nights, I wrestled. I really wrestled in the natural, in the things I knew what to do, all right? But it wasn't getting me anywhere. There was no peace in it. There was no strength from the Lord. I had to do something different. I had to get my eyes out of it, look up to Jesus, and allow him to come into my life and be about me. And he did. His promise is that he comes, doesn't he, Linda? He brings his peace into our lives. He brings his glory into our lives. He brings the healing team into our lives. He brings all that needs to be there in. But we need to go from looking here to here. And that's lifting our eyes to Christ. Now, in it all, there's an exchange being made. Jesus exchanged his righteousness for my sin. It cost him a little bit. No, it cost him everything. He stepped down out of heaven. He was separated from his Father. He gave his physical life. He was despised. He was jeered. He was spat at. He was publicly humiliated. That was his life given for us, an exchange made. So if we're living our lives, do you think that if we're just going along, living life pretty much the same as what we used to do, but now what we do, we just hang a cross around our neck maybe and say we're Christians, do you believe that there's probably a bit more to do in exchanging our old for this new life that Jesus offers to us? Do you believe that, you know, if you continue looking at the things of this world that get around us and living life pretty much the same today as what you did yesterday, as the week before, that there's nothing really required of me in this, that maybe we've just missed something in that Jesus has already made this exchange, his righteousness for our sin. You can't remain the same today. If you're called on the name of Jesus and you've asked him into your life, he loves you so dearly that he doesn't want to leave you where you are. But if you choose to stay there, he can't do anything about it. I'm going to encourage you today. Get your eyes from where... If your life might even be really, really, really good, but it can be better. Christ comes to offer the kingdom of God to us. Not just an amped up version of what we've got here today, but the kingdom of God, the righteousness of God. What an amazing, amazing, amazing thing that we've got. And as we look to some of the things, you know, I could remain the same, doing the same wrong things, living the same old life, but there has to be an exchange, an old life for a new one. Our old life crucified with Christ at the cross. Some of the things we might look at and is being faithful. If and when you get married and you choose, oh, well, I'm married now, but I don't need to be faithful to that particular person. I can just... How would that go? How does that go down? It doesn't work. God asks us for our faithfulness before him. He's not asking us to, you know, sleep around. He's asking us to come to him, to give him glory, to be faithful in what we do, in our service to him, in coming to know him, to being with him, to just hanging out with him. It's no longer you living for yourself, but now for him, just as you do in marriage. It's an exchange that's been done. Death is the entry point to heaven. All right? Might sound a bit rough, mightn't it? But death is the entry point to heaven. Jesus gave his life for our sins, but we give up our old life for a new life in him. Can we do it in the natural by ourselves, looking to our own strengths? No chance, not one chance for you to do that. The world will keep drawing you back. As we read in this scripture here earlier, and I'll just go back to it. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. All right, and before that, he's talking about the wisdom of this world. All right, it's out there. It is drawing at the natural carnal man. Is that even when I heard the news of Kate Middleton, again, my heart goes, oh, for my own daughter. All right, because again, it's thrown back at you. But now I can go, yep, that's the wisdom of this world. I can look up to the one who holds me and lifts me out of that. And that's the precious gift that Jesus has given to each one of us. Jesus gave his life. We give up our old life for a new one. At this point, we transition from the old carnal life to a new spiritual life. We now operate with a different operating system. At our conversion, an operating system we know little about. So if you've only just come to the knowledge of Christ and the love that he has for us, you probably don't understand this spiritual realm, the wisdom that comes out of that. But we're given an operating system. We're given a manual. It's called the Bible. But most importantly, we're given a tutor called the Holy Spirit that stands and walks through you with everything you need to do. If you want to keep resisting that, you can. You don't need to have him, but he'd love to be in your life with you. And he's prepared to take you to a whole different place. We're asked to be no longer conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transformed by the renewing of our mind. We need to think different. We can't think the same old ways that we've always done. We can't wake up today and think, oh yeah, it's a nice day today. I'll still just do what I want to do. We need to have our eyes up to Jesus. What's he asking of us? What's he moving us towards? What does he have for us today? It can be scary sometimes, but boy, it's exciting. Let's just quickly have a look at the nature of Jesus. Is that we know from John 3:16, for God so loved the world. What did he do? He loved the world. That he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever, what's our bit? Believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know he loves us. We're called, though, to believe. To believe that he loves us. This beautiful God who, through his love, gave his life, his son, to us. There's a beautiful little story in Luke, and I'll just flick to it here and see if I've got it close. It's about the widow of Nain, and this widow, sons died. Now, Jesus at the time is in Capernaum. It's about 20 odd mile from this place called Nain. Nain's not on a through road, but Jesus becomes aware of this woman, this widow, and Jesus takes the time to walk this 20 miles, or what's that, about 35 kilometres or something. So more than from Bateman's Bay to Maria, all right? For the compassion he has in his heart for this woman. And he comes, and he doesn't, I don't know whether you're like me or not, but sometimes, you know, when you think, you know the answer and you've got the strength and you've got the might and the power and you're going to fix things, and you walk in, you know, you get out of my road, you know, just stand aside there. Would you get that crowd back? Just stop those. You know, I'm here. I've got the authority. I'm ready to fix this. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus walked in. And here's the heart of Jesus. He says to her, do not weep. How beautiful is that? Do not weep. His heart is for her. He's got all power and authority. He will raise this dead son up. All right? But the first thing he does is for his heart for her. Do not weep. How beautiful is our Jesus? How beautiful is his heart? You know, if we look at just love, the actual description of love, and we look at love, we're actually told that it's a fruit of the Spirit. So why do we look around the world today and we see people looking for love in the world? where the spirit of the world is, but not the spirit of God. How can there be love if the spirit of God is not in that place? All right? So no wonder our people are getting messed up looking for love. And what was the old song, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places? Is if we're not looking towards the Spirit of God and to God himself through his Son, Jesus Christ, we're looking in all the wrong places. Jesus and the love that he had is found in a new dimension, this spiritual realm. It's not found here at ground level. It's found in looking up to us. For us as men, love is patient. If we love our wives, we're patient with them. Love edifies. It suffers long. It's kind. It does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. If you want to find this, it's in 1 Corinthians 8:1 and 1 Corinthians 13:4. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. So we actually look at love. It's not some kind of romantic notion. It's actually a verb. It's a doing. It's something to do. It's to love and to be patient and to be kind and looking after. If I go back to my story the other week, I told you that I put Rosie on the big mower going across the paddock. And it wasn't quite as successful as I thought it should be, okay? And she's got the big mower, and good thing was I only had it on turtle, not rabbit, because if it was on rabbit, I wouldn't catch her, all right? But on turtle, I could keep up and managed to switch it off so that we saved the farm, the animals, everything else. But most importantly, Rosie, okay? We save Rosie. But in that example, is a lot of the times in our relationships, and particularly husbands and wives, is one of us will be at a different place to what our spouse will be at. Allow them the grace to be wherever they are, okay? If they're not at the same level you are, allow them the grace to be there, all right? If they're way above you, right, that person, allow the other one the grace, all right, to grow up. But whatever it might be is that all our spiritual disciplines that we do, our reading of our Bible, spending time with God, praying, they aren't to give us weapons to take out other people. They're to help us to know Jesus, to know his grace, so that we can come alongside other people. If you find yourself in a contentious position, probably go and spend a little bit more time with Jesus in your Christian disciplines, because we're not here to take out one another. We're here to grow each other up, to move each other to a new place. I used to think that if I learn another scripture and that person doesn't know it, I'm way ahead of them. What a load of rubbish. I soon quickly learnt that all I did was manage to remember something that someone else didn't. Jesus operated in grace and mercy. If we go back to love out of 1 Corinthians 13 and 4, it suffers long. We don't have to be right, all right? If you find yourself needing to be right all the time, consider this about suffering long for it. Is we need to be patient, be kind, do not envy. It doesn't parade itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked, because God will do what he needs to do through you. Because if we go to the woman caught in adultery, here again we see the heart of Jesus. You know, what's the crowd going to do? Crowd wants to pick up a rock and throw it. All right. The biggest problem, once that rock leaves your hand, it's really hard to get it back. And I don't know whether you're like me, but I've been through my life pretty quick sometimes to throw rocks. And I've thought to myself later, do you know how, if they're dead, how would they ever get saved? And Jesus was about redeeming the person. He didn't need justice. He needed to bring the person. And that's our lives. That's for us, all right, is to help that person come from death into life through Jesus Christ. If they're laying under a pile of rocks that we've thrown at them, they're not much chance, okay? And we can be pretty good at that sometimes. Jesus' love for the sinner, the woman caught in adultery, what did he do? He says, he just picks her up. He embraces her and says, neither do I, but go sin no more. Gives a direction, comfort. How beautiful is our Jesus and what he does. If you want that story, that's in John 8:11. In Zechariah 4 and 6, I don't think there's anyone who probably doesn't know this scripture, but it goes, not by might nor power. Now, before I go to the next little bit, what do you think we bring from our old life? We bring might and power. That's all we've got until we come to a knowledge of Christ and get saved and get filled with the Holy Spirit, is we bring might and power. We see through all throughout Scripture who had the biggest army, who had the biggest this, biggest that. But what does the Scripture tell us? It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And this is the new dimension for each one of us to move into, to keep looking up through the natural things that come up around us and close to us, looking up now to Christ. And I just want to go to Peter, stepping out of the boat. And I've just got to go back one page. I think that's where the scripture's written. But anyway, we all know the scripture where Jesus is walking on the water in the midst of the storm, and he comes walking across, and all of the disciples are in the boat, but what are they doing? They're looking at the storm. They're caught up in it. The storm's going on all around them, and they're starting to panic. They're thinking, this is not real good, okay? But Peter does something a little different to the others. He lifts his eyes, and he sees Jesus coming across the water. This is us. This is representative of us. We can see the storm. We can see the water we've got to bail out of the boat. We can see the frail little boat, all right? But have we got our eyes up looking at Jesus coming across the water? Because what happened then, Peter goes, Lord. And Jesus says, come to me, Peter. And Peter goes, right? His eyes are up. He's looking out, all right? But what happens then? He takes his eyes off Jesus. He looks down. And what's he do? Sinks. Because the natural mind cannot comprehend walking on water. It knows it can't do it. All right? It's already proved to itself. But see, the spirit realm allows us this completely different operating system, a different life, a different place. It's so much better than what we've got here in the natural. All right? So Peter, Jesus says, oh, Peter, look up. And Peter's right for a sec, all right? But he says to him, oh, you of little faith, all right? It's an area to grow up in our lives, our faith and lifting up. We do that by continuing to look to Jesus. He builds the faith in us. He gets his Holy Spirit and grows us and moves us and lifts us up beyond our comprehension and the things that we grab hold of. God's will is that none should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of him and everlasting life. The woman caught in adultery met that Jesus. We know that his grace, his mercy. So as we look to plough straight furrows, our Christian life, we can do it in the natural. And just an addendum to my message the other week is I'm going back when I was talking about driving tractors. It's probably 40 plus. Rosie and I have been married 41 years this year, so it was well before that. We used to be on tractors out around Wagga and Beckham and Weath Alley and little places like that. They weren't even air conditioned back in those days. All right, but if you're looking at the dashboard, you'd plough crooked furrows. But if you had your eyes up, you would see. But interestingly, today, there's new technology available in tractors that actually you're supposed to look at the dashboard because it's done autonomously now through all this kind of stuff. And that's a lot like our lives too. We can get caught up in running our lives autonomously by the spirit of this world, and it will come around you, it will direct you, it will guide you. But if you take your eyes off that, put it up to Jesus and let him guide you and direct you and lead you as you go. And if we go just quickly here, by keeping our eyes on Jesus, it allows us to move into his supernatural realm, a realm without physical boundaries. The physical boundaries we operate in. You know, my daughter, yep, she's got a tumour, okay? Excitingly, what they've done in these past few weeks is they've... she went in last Wednesday for a new scan. They've decided rather than operate immediately that they'll go and reassess it and have a little bit further of a look at it. Probably a bit like what they had to do with Kate, you know, just to find out, you know. And let's not rush into this. I'm fully believing that the next time they go and look, they're not going to find it. But, you know, as if it does, God's peace is going to work through it, okay? And if you want that example of Peter walking on the wall, that's Matthew 14:22. So let's look. Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit. We need to have our eyes looking to the spiritual dimension. Proverbs 3, it says, lean not on your own understanding. Or actually, just before that, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's a new thing to us to trust in someone with all your heart, right? We've been conditioned to get hurt and to get knocked around. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit is worth trusting with all your heart, leaning not on your own understanding. Because as soon as Peter trusted in Jesus, he could walk on the water, walked in the supernatural. As soon as he leant back into his own understanding, he sunk down real quick. All right? There it is right in all the scriptures before us. So we can lean on our might, we can lean on our power, or we can go to a different dimension. Lean not on your own understanding, all right? But stay in the spiritual realm. And Paul goes at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 2 and 1, and he says here, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And I leave that with you today, that as you lift your eyes from the things, the circumstances, those things that would come around you today, and you lift your eyes towards Jesus, allow him to come into your life, allow him to bring his love, his care, his mercy, his beauty, his wonder, that you might find times like Linda's had, that you might find times where you've exchanged your anxieties for his peace. You know, it's this exchange that Jesus has made. Don't live in the natural. Don't live in the carnal. All right? Lift your eyes up to this new dimension that Jesus Christ has for us. Get to know him. Get to love him. get to trust, because the measure of faith that's been given to you that we read in Romans 12, we can, each one of us has been given that, but we can grow it. We can, as we get Jesus' arms wrapped around us, he helps us to know that, yes, I am with you. I will not forsake you nor leave you. I'm there constantly. I love you. I gave my son. This is the King of Glory. So, Lord, we just want to thank you today. We just want to thank you for your word, Lord. We want to thank you, Father, for its revelation that, Father, that the things of this world have nothing for us. But, Lord, as we lift our eyes to you, Jesus, as we look to plough straight furrows in our Christian walk, Father, looking to you in all things, Lord, we honour you and we glorify you. Father, we want to come to that knowledge, that love, that, Lord, no matter what, we no longer turn to our own understanding, Lord, but we look straight through and, Father, and put our eyes to you, Jesus. And, Father, today we just thank you, Father, as we just now, Lord, gather together to worship you. Father, as these next songs come on, Father, we'll have this opportunity to gather, Father, to worship and to honour you, just to tell you how much we love you and thank you, Lord. We come to make an exchange today, Father, our old life for the new that you bring for us, Father. And Father, today, Lord, help us to know, Father, the things to put off, the things to put on, Lord. And Father, we just give you honour. So as the worship comes, let's just stand.